Welcome to our short story series, A Walk in the Dark. I'm your host, Bob Berry. Have you ever traveled by bus at night? Most find it relaxing and enjoyable, especially since someone else is doing the driving. This particular trip, however, takes a wrong turn with deadly results. Perhaps before scheduling your next bus trip, you might remember this cautionary tale entitled Deadly Departure.
Monarch Bus Lines driver Henry McAuliffe was understandably a bit shaken when questioned by the police on the night of August 12th. He had just completed his run from Bloomingdale to Monroe, and, for the second time in less than a month, a dead man had been found on board. A month earlier, at the end of his run, a woman stepped off the bus, telling McAuliffe that a man sitting behind her had apparently fallen asleep. When McAuliffe approached and touched the man's shoulder, he fell to one side. An autopsy on Henry Givens, age 42, revealed a puncture near the left breast leading directly to the heart, which was made, evidently, by some needle-like object. This night, August 12th, at the end of the line, a woman complained to McAuliffe that a man was apparently ill near the back of the bus. Upon checking, he found a dead man lying sideways in the seat. Investigation found the cause of death to be the same as the one a month before. McAuliffe told police that the woman he encountered might have been the same woman he saw on the night of July 20th. He added that the trip had been otherwise uneventful. Yet passenger Earl Updike, 43 years old, was found dead in the rear of the bus. Detective Ben Arbuckle questioned McAuliffe after the most recent incident.
What did she say exactly?
As I said before, she said nothing except to mention the poor fella sitting behind her.
Describe her again.
Plump, middle-aged, dishwater blonde.
Are you certain it was the same woman who was on board a month ago?
I'm not sure, but I'd say probably. I just wasn't ready for it to happen again.
I imagine not.
There was a lengthy pause as McAuliffe repositioned himself on the hard wooden chair. His pale face, atop his slender frame, harbored a comical expression, owing largely to his deep-set owlish eyes and long, thin nose. He had grown accustomed over the years to the smiles he received. He was fine with that. He had passed 40-plus years with Monarch Bus Company and, admittedly, was becoming a bit bored with it all. It was a decent living, sure, but in later years it had become monotonous and repetitive. Until recently, of course. Meanwhile, Detective Arbuckle's fingertips touched his lips in a prayer-like gesture as he pondered this puzzling case. He was a large, powerfully built man in his 40s, with graying temples and a face imprinted with a perpetual scowl. He turned to the two plainclothes cops standing at the door.
Find out what you can about the home life of Givens and Updike. See if they were playing around. The only similarities we have now are their ages. Could be she knew both men.
The cops nodded and left the room. Arbuckle put his elbows on the desk and looked squarely at the meek, pale face of Henry McAuliffe.
McAuliffe, I know you want and deserve a vacation after all that has happened, but I need your help. I want it to happen again.
What?
I want to give this weirdo another opportunity.
I don't understand.
This woman, if it is a woman, might be a psycho. You claim to have seen her more than once.
I'm not sure.
Supposing she has something against men over 40. It could happen again to any man of that age. I'm over 40 and might be a tempting target. If I were there the next time, you could spot her and alert me.
I don't know.
Sorry to interrupt, Chief. Your wife's on the phone.
Tell her I'll call her back. When is your next run scheduled?
Day after tomorrow.
All right. Let's do this. You stand by the door and check all passengers as they board, right?
Yes.
If you see anyone who matches her description, signal me by taking off your cap. I'll be nearby, but won't board unless you take your cap off.
Detective Arbuckle...
Do this, McAuliffe. We've got to put a close to this craziness once and for all. It has to stop.
McAuliffe stared at the floor, somewhat annoyed at the detective's demanding tone, as well as his evident enthusiasm for his job. He should try driving a bus for over 1,000,000 miles sometime, he thought. The evening was warm, with a sweet smell of rain in the air. The baggage had been loaded aboard the bus, and driver Henry McAuliffe moved into position to check in passengers. Detective Arbuckle stood 20 feet away. A dozen people waited patiently for McAuliffe to allow them to board. Two teenage girls were first in line, followed by a wino who had trouble finding his ticket. Next was a young woman with a crying baby in her arms. McAuliffe smiled and patted the child on the head. He assisted the young woman and her child onto the first step and then turned to accept the next ticket. Smiling warmly at him was a plump, middle-aged woman who handed him her one-way ticket to Monroe. As she climbed aboard, McAuliffe removed his cap and wiped his forehead with a handkerchief. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw Arbuckle slowly approaching the line.
A ticket, sir?
It's her, isn't it?
He had no ticket, but flashed a knowing smile at McAuliffe as he climbed aboard. After all were checked in, McAuliffe started the engine, letting it idle. The lights in the bus were dimmed. Detective Arbuckle positioned himself in an aisle seat just 2 rows from the back of the bus. He could see McAuliffe standing at the front, looking over the roster. More importantly, he could see the lady in question sitting in an aisle seat just 3 rows ahead of him. All other passengers sat closer to the front. Suddenly, the lady stood up, took off her coat, and draped it over her arm. She was looking directly at Arbuckle as she slowly moved toward him. A deep breath tightened his body, and he thought he heard her mumble something as she passed by and entered the restroom at the back of the bus. Arbuckle heard the door shut, then lock. He exhaled and relaxed momentarily, but was aware that she would be passing by him again. Meanwhile, the slender frame of Henry McAuliffe was slowly making his way down the aisle. What a dull job he has, thought Arbuckle. The same routine day after day. Little excitement to that as he watched McAuliffe doing a slow head count. As McAuliffe approached, he hoped that he wouldn't stop and say anything.
Sir, may I see your ticket?
McAuliffe, it's me.
Sir, perhaps you just put it in your jacket pocket. Many do and forget.
Another bus to one side roared defiantly as it backed out of its stall.
She just went in the bathroom. I think it's her.
Arbuckle looked up in time to see McAuliffe reach into his inner jacket pocket. Then, with silent, blinding speed, he saw the blur of McAuliffe's hand as it thrust toward him. There was a quick, cold, painful penetration. Arbuckle slumped. Several hours later, Monarch Bus Lines driver Henry McAuliffe had completed his run from Bloomingdale to Monroe, and for the third time in a little over a month, a dead man had been found on board his bus. McAuliffe was, understandably, a bit shaken when he was once again questioned by the police, but he had to admit that for the first time, he really loved his job.
Deadly Departure was written and directed by Bob Berry. The cast featured Larry Adams, Ray Hedden, Kevin Shadle, and Susan Gard. Original theme music by Brian Lee Wheat. Production provided by Village Recording, Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Bob Berry. Be with us next time for our journey into A Walk in the Dark.